waltzed.
But I love that song. Ruth chapter 1. You sang it before, and I've never mentioned that. I just thought I'd mention it. So. And I like it. So just in case, I'd like it again, too. I think it's a good song. Ruth chapter 1. All right. All taken care of? Yeah. How many of you have read through the book of Ruth? You've read through it? Oh, good number. Good number. Still a handful of you that have not. Let me give you a summarization, a quick synopsis of the story. So it begins telling us about this Israelite man by the name of Elimelech, who lives in what we would know Bethlehem. It's called Bethlehem, Judah. He has a wife by the name of Naomi. They have two boys named Chilion. I got to cheat. Mahlon and Chilion. Well, they live during the time of the judges. So Joshua's passed on, but there are no kings yet. And it is a time, it's a roller coaster time for Israel, where they're with God and then they're in rebellion toward God. And apparently, God is chastening the nation. He allows a famine to come to the land of Israel. So, farming is difficult. They're an agrarian people, and therefore, they're going to go hungry. Now, they're not going to starve to death. The idea of this famine is to turn them to the Lord, which apparently it did. But during this famine, Elimelech decided to take his wife and kids and leave and go to Moab, which is outside of Israel. Now, God's plan for Elimelech was to live in Israel. It was to live in Israel. Just like God has a plan for you and I. God has a will, a purpose for each one of us. And so, it's important for us to find that will for our lives. It is the safest place for us. If you're a child of God, God's number one will for everybody, all humans. His number one will. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God's will for everybody is that they would come to Jesus Christ and be saved. Okay? So some of you have already done that. I trust most of you have. So, that's step one. But step two is finding God's plan for you as a Christian now. What you're supposed to do and all of that for the Lord. Anyway, so Elimelech, though, while he's where God wants him to be, he's experiencing this chastisement as an Israelite. And rather than endure it, he leaves, goes to Moab. He only plans to stay there for a little while, sojourn. But the Bible says he continues there, and they're there as a family for 10 years. Now, Elimelech ends up dying outside of Israel in Moab. Well, the boys, Mahlon and Chilion, end up meeting Moabitish women, and they get married. They're still outside of Israel. They're still outside of the will of God. Though they are God's people, they're outside of the will. They're not where God can bless them. Hello? They have left the umbrella of God's protection. Now, they think everything's fine. But as the story unfolds in chapter 1, we discover that was a bad move to Moab. That was not a good move. And so, after the boys marry, not long after they marry, they die. They die. And so it's just Naomi. Now she's lonely. She has to go home every night to a house that's empty. She has to look at furniture that reminds her of her husband and her kids. There's a sadness, a cloud that overwhelms her. She has two daughter-in-laws, and they appear to love her, but they are Moabitish girls, and there's a cultural difference. And And she makes a decision. She makes a decision to go back. She has heard the Lord has visited Israel with bread. So she goes back. She's going to make this decision. Now here's what's interesting. She had heard that the Lord had visited Israel before the boys died. Before the boys died, she had heard. But that wasn't enough to make her move. We haven't even read yet, have we? We better read the Bible. Let's go ahead and let's stand in Ruth chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 7. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. He doesn't make it past verse 3. And she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, not Oprah. And the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Now notice verse 6. Then she arose. Now this is significant. The order is significant. The boys died. Then she arose. Now, she arose because she had some knowledge that somebody had given her. We read on. Watch this. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Let's pray. Father, bless the message. May the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts this morning. May You use this Bible story, this true story of many hundreds of years ago, to teach us, Lord, what we need to learn. Help us see the application for our lives right now. You care for Your children, Lord. You love Your children, Lord God, more than they love themselves, Lord. You care about us. You care about our testimony. I pray that You'd help us tonight, or this morning. And maybe there's somebody here who doesn't even know they're going to heaven. I pray, Lord, that You'd speak to their hearts and help them to be receptive to the truth. Remove distractions. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want you to catch this. I don't want you to miss this. This is important. Verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law. So, wait a minute, question. That is in reference, obviously, to after the boys died, correct? Yeah. Now, it goes on to tell us, for she had heard. Past tense. For she had heard that the Lord had visited her people with bread, or His people with bread. And so, wait a minute. If we have a timeline here, and we call this the timeline of her making this decision to leave Moab, right here. That means what took place before this was the boys had died. It prompted her. But wait a minute. Apparently, somewhere before the boys had died, somewhere, we don't know, we don't even know if it was during while Elimelech was still alive. We're not sure when. But sometime while they were in Moab, she had heard that the Lord had visited His people with bread. But apparently at that time it wasn't enough to move her. Or them. You see, it's real easy to get comfortable outside of the will of God. One week without church makes one week. Talk to me. It's real easy to get comfortable not living for God. And we may think, and we may deceive ourselves and think everything's going to be all right outside my Father's house. But it's never all right for the child of God outside his Father's house. Never for the child of God. Now it may appear fine for a season, because the Bible tells us sin is pleasurable for a season, but there's always a harvest. I don't know why she didn't leave after Elimelech died. Maybe because the boys had found them a couple gals and they seemed to get settled down and things were comfortable. And so she's tarried there. All I know, and what I want you to know, is she heard about this before the boys died. The truth that she had heard had lied dormant until tragedy struck and softened the soil. Are you with me? And now that truth can bear fruit, but wait a minute. It'll never bear fruit until it's acted upon by faith. Faith without works is... You know that verse. It's dead. I'm not saying back here when she heard, she didn't believe. Way back here, we don't know. All I know, according to the passage I read there, she knew about the Lord visiting His people before the boys died. That's all I know. And it is apparent that she believed it. She believed that things were going well back in Israel. But it didn't prompt her to get under God's umbrella of protection. No. So God had to allowed because sin will do its own work. We like to blame it on God, but sin brings its own heartache. Sin is self-destructive. Hello? It's self-destructive. And so, living outside the will of God as a child of God, it ended up catching up, and now she is broken. Our heart, if we were to see her, would grieve for her. We don't know. As far as we know, she was following her husband. We don't, you know. And then her boys are settled in, and she's a mom who loves her boys, and she cares about them, so she's there, and now they're dead. Now it's time to go. It's time to go because she had heard. Now see, the real part of this message, now all that's very important because I believe that would relate to some people. Because I believe there's plenty of people that can relate to this, getting out of the will of God when things are difficult. They figure, you know what, I just don't have time to go to church. I just don't have time to, I don't want to. And they get comfortable in the world. They get comfortable around the wrong crowd. And it seems all right for a while. But if they're saved, harvest is coming. See, because you reap what you sow. And if you sow sin, if you sow rebellion, if you sow rebellion toward God, oh, what a horrible harvest. It doesn't matter how comfortable it is right now. And so, many of God's people could say, yeah, it took tragedy to bring me to Christ or bring me back to church and get me in fellowship with God again. By the way, David, listen, you're not in bad company. King David would say, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Are you with me, ladies and gentlemen? We're talking about David, the giant slayer, the greatest king of Israel, would say, he'd testify, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And I declare to you, ladies and gentlemen, I thank God for the chastisement God's brought into my life to get me in the place He wants me to be. And I'm pretty sure every child of God in the house of God this morning that is walking with God, if it took affliction to get you where God wants you, I'm pretty sure you could say thank you. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for what the Lord has done. Now here's the deal though. I say all that, that's important, and that's preliminary. But here's the thing I really want to zero in on, and here's the thing that gets my attention. And who told her? I said, who told her that the Lord had visited His people? Somebody had to tell her. Somebody had to let her know, hey, Naomi, God has blessed His people again. Who told her? Now that's significant. Because she had to hear, right? Because in her time of grief, if she hadn't have heard truth and had something to lean on, where would she go? Are you with me? But now she hears the Lord, the covenant keeper of His people, has blessed His people. Oh, though she has been rebellious for a while in her time of need, she has a place to go because somebody told her. It doesn't tell us who that person was. Here's a reason. Because it's irrelevant. Because when I share the gospel, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's not about you remembering me. It's about you remembering Jesus. It's not about you remembering the messenger. It's about you remembering the message. Are you with me, ladies and gentlemen? You see, because that's the most important thing, the message, the gospel message. God says, I just want the reader to know somebody told her. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Somebody told her. You know, this person, he not only told her, but he had to be believable. I said he had to be believable. Hey, listen, come on. I've talked to enough people, and I'm sure many of you have talked to enough people. There are some people that they got a story for everything, and it's like, right, yeah. Yeah, the fish was how big now? Right, okay, sure. And you walk away knowing, well, it's probably half right, if anything. Come on now. Hey, listen. There are just some people that are not as believable as other people. It doesn't make them evil or bad people. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they're just not, you know what I'm saying? They're just not as believable. Let me say this. Let's not be that person. Now, here's the deal. Here's something that's, this has got to be true. Okay. Again, she had heard. I don't know if she heard from one person or two people. I don't know how many. I don't know how many times she may have heard. But she heard and she believed. She believed because obviously the message was believable. And when for a message to be believable, I've got to say this. For a message to be believable, the messenger has to. There's a good probability, let me just put it this way, there's a good probability that the messenger has experienced it. Because it's hard to talk about what you haven't, what you don't have, with conviction. It's hard to share what you don't possess. But if you know what being saved is, if you know what receiving Christ is and the experience of being delivered from hell, then, and you know the relief that comes from knowing, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. If you know that, it's much easier for you to tell that with some conviction and believability. I don't even know if that's a word, but it made sense to me. Are y'all hearing me here? Okay. So, this is a high probability, a high probability that whoever this was that told her could testify on a first-hand basis. Because they've experienced it. Yes. You know, Jesus, He finds this lady at a well. She's a Samaritan. Crying out loud. A Samaritan of all things. Nobody else, no other Jews are talking to these Samaritans. So He sees her all by herself at the well and He talks to her and carries a conversation. And then He tells her, I'm the Messiah. And she drops her water bucket and runs into town and she says, come see a man that told me everything about me. Because Jesus inquired about the marital status. Now here's just a little side note. Since we're here, I might as well just get this out. Jesus said, well, why don't you go get your husband? She said, I'm not married. He said, you're right. You mean Jesus knows if you're married or not? I guess so. And he says, Jesus goes on and he says, yeah, the one you're with. He says, yeah, you've been married 5 times. And the one you're with now, you're not married to him. So he acknowledged the other 5 marriages. There was a distinction between them and not being married. Then she drops her water pot, man. Then she says, who is this guy? And then she goes into town and she says, come see a man that told me everything about me. Is not this the Christ? Now here, you got to get this. Okay, so she believes. And the Bible says the multitudes from town come out to hear Jesus. And it says this in John 4. It says, many believe because of her word. Wait a minute, she hadn't even got married yet. But she's telling the truth of something she's experienced. It's real to her. And as a result, many believe. And then the rest of them came just out of curiosity because they heard from her. They came, and then they believed when they heard Him. Isn't that awesome? Oh, then there's another story. Jesus goes to the man on Gadara who's filled with a legion of demons. He's living in the cemetery. Running around with nothing on but a smile and a growl. He's got shackles on. He's a crazy man, wild man. No man can tame him. Devils are ruling his life. Jesus shows up and they humble themselves and bow as everybody will one day. And they're afraid that Jesus is going to send them to hell now. The Lord delivers them and they go into the pig and the pig jump off the cliff and the pig drown and we don't know what happened to the devils. They're still around somewhere. But anyways, their time will come. But now the next thing we read here in Mark chapter 8, it's also in Luke and I think it's chapter 7. Next thing we read about that man that was running around with no clothes on, the Bible says he's sitting at the feet of Jesus clothed and in his right mind. That's what Jesus will do to a person. Clothed and in his right mind. Jesus teaches him and then Jesus gets ready to take off. Okay, he's going back on the other side of the sea. And as he goes, this man wants to follow, crying out loud. After this experience, he wants to stay with the man who did this for him. And Jesus says, oh, I got a better thing for you to do. Go home and tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for you. Well, that was easy. That was easy. So he goes and he can't help but to talk about the real experience, the salvation experience he's had. And the next time Jesus comes over, they flock to see him. I mean, they come out by the hordes to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Well, that man had a testimony that was believable. We got to get back to Ruth, don't we? I hadn't forgot. I know, you thought I did. I hadn't forgot. You see, the idea here about Ruth is she had heard. And what I'm trying to get across right now, dear child of God, somebody's got to tell the people. Didn't Jesus said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel? Was he talking just to preachers? He's talking to every Christian. Everybody that's tasted and saw that the Lord is good, it's your responsibility. Listen, I've been to Charleston's. Ever been to Charleston's? Okay, I'm going to put a plug in. They're not even paying me for this. Now, I grew up in northern Michigan, and bread pudding was the farthest thing from my brain. Bread pudding. And then I remember my first experience with bread pudding. It was not a good one. Not a good one at all. I'm not a bread pudding fan. And so I'm invited to go to Charleston's, and the guy that invites me says, you got to go for the bread pudding. I'm like, you're not selling me, boss. But he said, I'm paying for the meal. I said, well, maybe I can get a steak out of it then. He said, but you got to eat the bread pudding. I said, well, in my brain, I had my fingers crossed. I said, well, okay. And so we go to Charleston. There's a few of us that all assemble at Charleston's, and we eat our meals. I'm thinking, I'm satisfied. And they pull out the bread pudding. And the very smell of it didn't remind me of the bread pudding that I had from a Nazi concentration camp, is where that's from. Tell you, this bread pudding, this was a marvel to behold. I mean, anytime you put cinnamon and butter and that rum flavor in there, non-alcoholic, you mix all that, you got good stuff going on. I'm smelling it, and it's hot. I'm digging into that. I'm like, man, I could have ate this first. It was fantastic. I mean, I'm years removed, and I can still taste it. But this man that invited me, he tasted it, and he was so assured that my taste buds would be close to his that he had no problem inviting me. Now that I've tasted, I have no problem saying, yeah, that's pretty good stuff. So I just begin with this and say, if you've truly tasted Christ, you shouldn't have a problem telling others. But maybe if you haven't, maybe that's why you... Because we don't talk about the things we don't like or too often. We don't talk about things that are not on our heart. Let me put it that way. Have we talked about Jesus this week? We got these little, if you're not a talker, these will talk for you. These little gospel tracts, they'll talk for you. They'll do a lot of talking for you. I got to move on. I'm running out of time. Crying out loud, I feel like we just got here. This is the next thing. This is the next thing. This is where I was going to share the story. So this guy, whoever he is, somebody told him, somebody that most likely had experienced it, but wait a minute. Look at the verse. He had to leave where he was. Look at this again. Look at verse 6. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of where? That's the location she had heard the message at. She was out here, out of the will of God. Somebody from over here left over here to go over here. Hopefully the primary reason was to tell her the Lord has visited. Well, what you getting at, Willis? Okay. Sometimes we've got to get out of our comfy zone to go tell others. We've got to leave our comfy zone so that somebody else can hear. I've got to wrap this up. I want to elaborate, but I'm running out of time because I spent too much time on bread pudding. All right. Anyways. She heard because somebody left a comfortable place, a place where God was blessing, to go share the good news. Like going to Africa. Like going to Russia. Like going to China. Like going to New Zealand. Like going to Australia. Or going to Canada. Or going to the northwest part of the United States where there's not very many churches preaching the gospel. or going to a city that's inundated with liberal left-wing agendas that is morally corrupt and perverse, and going there where it's difficult, somebody's got to tell them. Somebody has to. Somebody that believes it's real in their heart. Somebody believes that there's somebody worth rescuing. She heard it in Moab. I want to say this. Okay. This is awesome. We've got some folks. I didn't ask you guys, but I got it. This is, you're a blessing to me. We have, and there's others here. We have a little ministry here because we're concerned about winning souls, bringing the gospel to people, because that's, you're not the right kind of church if you're not trying to win people to Christ. Hello.
Amen.
Jesus said, follow me and I will make you, you know that verse. Fishers of men, you quit doing that, friend. You're not following Christ. I don't care if you call yourself the church of the blah, 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 blah. You're not following Jesus Christ if you're not fishing for men. So everything we're doing is trying to bring people to Christ and then help those Christians who are here to learn how to bring people to Christ. I want you to feel welcome. I want you to feel comfortable. I want you to develop fellowship. Why? So that your faith can grow so you can be a witness for Jesus Christ. And so, we got a ministry. It's called New Residence Ministry. We hand out these little gifts. It's not a lot in there, but we hand out these little gifts to every new resident in the community. And in so doing, God is blessed. We've had numerous people come visit the church. And in some cases, they've come and they keep coming. And they've received Jesus as their Savior. I'm telling you, it's awesome. And even going out and visiting. Just because you're out there, you make yourself available to other human beings. Because my mother-in-law said that she was visiting another door and they run into you guys while they were looking for somebody else. Is that correct? You know what? God knew you were there. Isn't that awesome? God knew you were there. But I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, they heard, she heard, because somebody left their comfort zone. Somebody left the comfort zone. She heard it in Moab, but get what happened? Okay, got to wrap this up. I'm nearing the end, nearing the end. I really believe it. Okay. So she's heard this, but wait a minute. She heard this back when the boys were still alive. And she didn't make an immediate response. Child of God, that you that are handing out gospel tracts, you that are trying to bring your family and friends to Christ, and you're not seeing immediate decision, don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. The word of the Lord will not return void, but it will accomplish that which God has pleased it to accomplish. It has the same power no matter how long it may sit dormant. It can sit dormant for 100 years, but when that seed is planted, it'll produce the ripest, most beautiful fruit as it would if it was planted immediately on its reception. She had it. And I wonder if the person that told her tried to encourage her to come back and thought, well, it's a bummer. I just wonder. Let me pretend. They tell her, they're all excited. They're excited about what God's done. Naomi, you ought to come back. God's blessed. You know, my kids and I were doing well here. They got married and, you know, they're all right. But Naomi, this isn't God's place for you. Yeah, but we're settled in. We got a house and boys have jobs and, no, we're just settled in. We're not too far. We're not too far away. Naomi. And so they leave. Maybe they leave disheartened. And they go back to the blessings of God thinking, you know, we tried. But oh, what a blessing. Because the day would come. The day would come when the seed of truth that was planted, oh, would produce fruit. You see, because now, oh, by the way, this is important. Her decision to leave Moab and go back to Bethlehem, Judah, is the turning point of this book. This book is sad in chapter 1, filled with heartache. But it ends with a happily ever after. Why? Because she acted upon her faith. It was no longer a do-nothing belief, but it was a belief that moved her. It moved her. Verse 7. It moved her. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was. It may be God's trying to move you out of the place where you're at to get you where He can bless you. I don't know. But I do know when we're not in the will of God, we're outside of the blessings of God. And I know there's a place where God would bless us. And the reality is this, we can believe it all we want, but until we move on it, it'll never benefit us. If you were to inquire with Naomi, hey Naomi, you know I heard that God had visited His people. Yeah, I heard that too. Do you believe that? You know, I do. I do. Oh, okay. But apparently not enough to move her. I said not enough to move her, but wait. Tragedy's going to come. I said tragedy's going to come. Now she's ready. And this will be this is going to put her on the path that will lead her to the happily ever after. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, her decision to go back is going to bring to the surface something in other people that we didn't see. And it's going to be the beginning of a family that will produce the greatest king of Israel, David. But then even farther on down the line, it will be the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is His family. I said this is His family. And you talk about God turning our messes into His masterpieces. Is that awesome or what? That's what God will do. He can turn our messes into masterpieces when we respond to His good news. If I can have every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, may the Holy Spirit help everybody that's here this morning. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive and receptive to how You have spoken to us. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. This morning, if you are not 100% sure that heaven will be your home, I'd like to pray for you. Maybe this morning you'd say, Preacher, I do not want to go to hell, but I am not certain I'm going to heaven. I'm just not sure. You might say, well, I believe in what Jesus did, but have you acted upon it? Have you received Him? Because you'll never benefit from the gospel message till it becomes personal. You might be able to quote Scripture. Judas could quote Scripture. But until you make it personal, till you receive Jesus, you never become that beneficiary of the grace of God. And that's your decision. But maybe this morning you say, Preacher, I don't want to go to hell, but I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. If you'd lift your hand up, I will pray for you. Is there anyone like that at this time that say, that's me, pray for me? Anyone like that as I look around? Is there anyone like that? All right. You do as the Lord leads. Those of you who are looking to join the church, I just ask you to slip out of your seat and you can make your way up here as we get ready to begin our invitation. Father, bless our invitation time. Bless the decisions that would be made. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Brian, let's stand together.
Hymn 119, Take My Life and Let It Be.